This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That's the last time I'll do good morning. That's it. Mac the Knife, I'll still sing on Saturdays, but that's the last time I will do good morning. So this is it, the final overnight, but that's not really the story. We got plenty to get to. We will take your calls on that, though, if you want to reminisce with me a little bit. I was trying to think of my fondest moments in the overnights. Maybe we'll do that in a little bit. Just the one that jumps out at me early on was the Shohei Ohtani stuff and getting the call from the TV producer in Japan. That one makes me laugh. But it's been a fun 2.5 years, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm just moving to the afternoons. But this is the final overnight. We'll get into a little bit of the we'll go around the NFL in the final hour. We'll give you some picks, I guess. See if Nico can I don't know where Fleeks keeps it. We got to find my football intro music, so we'll do a little bit of that. We started with the college football as the Indiana Hoosiers, which it really is a remarkable story. We haven't talked too much about that, as they pounded Alabama. I mean, they've beaten Ohio State for the Big Ten Championship. They beat Alabama in this game 38-3. They're 14-0. This is one of, if not the most losing football franchise program in NCAA history. I mean, this is a basketball school, and the football program has been atrocious. They lost, you know, they were one of the worst teams in Division I football in 22 and 23, and within 2 years, this coach has completely turned around the program. He's completely turned around the program, and now they are undefeated. And they are a win away over Oregon, who they already have beaten earlier this year on the road to go play for a national championship against either Ole Miss or Miami, where they would be heavy, heavy favorites in that game. So, I mean, this is a remarkable story. Mendoza, the first Heisman Trophy winner ever from the school. We were just talking about that. 3 touchdown passes in the game. Didn't have to do too much, as they just absolutely pounded Alabama after a little bit of a rough start to the game, a little bit of a slow start after not playing for over a month. And that's another storyline coming out of these tournaments. Over the last 2 years since they've changed the format here, 1-7, this Indiana over Alabama is the only game where the team with the month-long delay time off has won the game. 1-7 in the last 2 years. As obviously we saw, you know, teams go down here. We saw Ohio State go down. We saw, you know, Miami and Ole Miss win. Georgia go down. It has not been kind to the higher seeds here and the better teams, which is typically as kind in college football as anywhere else for the higher seeds. So that's worth monitoring. But a very different looking Final Four, if you will, to the semifinals of this NCAA tournament. Oregon versus Indiana and Miami versus Ole Miss after last night's Ole Miss performance against Georgia, going down the field at the end of the game to kick a game-winning field goal. An impressive victory in a back-and-forth game in the game that saved the day after an ugly 23-0 Oregon win over Texas Tech, and then obviously the Indiana pummeling of Alabama. Ole Miss, Georgia was at least a good game. Ole Miss scores 20 points in the fourth quarter. Chambliss, the quarterback there, who is eligible for the NFL draft, had an incredible game as, you know, he threw for over 300 yards, multiple touchdowns, 362, 30 of 46, 362 and 2 touchdowns, and big, big throws in that fourth quarter as they put up 20 points. Their kicker, who the Giants could use, kicked 2 of the longest field goals in Sugar Bowl history. And, you know, really the story for me is we talk about just there, Chambliss could enter the NFL draft. We know Mendoza will enter the NFL draft. And even Dante Moore of Oregon could enter the NFL draft. So we are watching three quarterbacks. And for the Jets, who are desperate for one with multiple first-round picks, right now sitting in the third position in the NFL draft, and the New York Giants, who are hoping to stay at number two and still do have a slim chance of getting the number one overall pick, hope all of these quarterbacks play incredibly well and come out in the draft because they need to make that move. We've been waiting for it all season long since they were dead. The premise of, it's really since Mendoza played that game in the Big Ten Championship and it became clear the Giants were working their way to the number one overall pick. There was the one quarterback in this draft, the ability to make this move. And now that they're at number two and hopefully stay there with a loss that they absolutely have to have against the Cowboys, maybe they're sitting there and there are multiple quarterbacks that teams would be willing to trade up for. So they got to hire a coach. They're keeping their GM. And they need to figure out a way to lose this game so that they can make multiple picks through via a trade for a quarterback. And the Jets might just be the team to trade up to get one because they're in desperate need as well. 888-808-1019. Emai signs with the Astros. We've done a lot on that. The Yankees and Mets have been dormant in this offseason. For the most part, the Mets have had some signings, obviously. But Devin Williams, Weaver, they've moved a lot of pieces. Broken up this core. That's really what they've done this offseason so far. They've also obviously added Simeon for the trade with Nimmo and Jorge Polanco to be the next first baseman of the New York Mets, but still waiting for more, needing to impact the rotation. They chose not to sign Emai. Yankees looking for another starting pitcher as well. They chose not to sign him either, despite the market collapsing. And right now, the Yankees are waiting on Bellinger. And the other story is that they touched base with Bo Bichette, which I have no real... that is, to me, 100% the Yankees trying to just make Bellinger nervous. I don't think they have any interest. I think they still believe in Anthony Volpe. Bo Bichette, although he's a great hitter and a contact hitter and a perfect right-handed complement in the lineup that they're desperately in need of, they view him as... I would think they view him as a terrible defensive shortstop, which he is. And I just don't think it's a piece that fits for the Yankees. I don't think they would give him a long-term contract to have to move him to second or third. I just don't see it as a fit, but there are reports that they're contacting him right now. I think that's more of just a tactic to try and scare Bellinger's camp and obviously Boris into coming down on the years that he doesn't want to come down on right now. So right now we are in a waiting pattern for what Bellinger is going to do before the Yankees do anything, and it feels like the Mets are waiting this whole thing out as well. So we need this offseason to pick up. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this final hour of both the show and of my 2.5-year stint in the overnight. So thank you guys very much for these 2.5 years. I've really appreciated it. Thank you for all the calls, and I'm going to get right back to them right now. Jeff in Fairview. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, Chris?
What's up, Jeff?
Yep. Good luck on your new... I already told you. Good luck.
Yes.
All right. The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper, 1967. Five people are still alive.
Is that true?
That Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Bob Dylan also.
Yep.
Dion DiMucci, the singer.
Okay.
Larry Bell, a sculptor. Now... You know John Lennon is named in We Didn't Start the Fire also, right? Is
John Lennon is named in it? Beatlemania? Yeah, I don't... Doesn't he mean Lennon, the premier of Russia or the Soviet Union?
That's a good question. I'm going to look that up.
I'm pretty sure that's what he means.
Say Lennon, maybe not John Lennon. I thought he was, but maybe you're right.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty interesting that Bob Dylan's still alive. He's on that list of the We Didn't Start the Fire.
We Didn't Start the Fire, and he's on the album cover of Sgt. Pepper, absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing, yep.
I think Oscar Wilde was on that. He died. I'm talking about Marilyn Monroe, Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Laurel Hardy, Muhammad Ali was on there. Was Gandhi on that? The Beatles Sergeant, was Gandhi also in there?
Maybe. I don't know everybody on the Sgt. Pepper album cover.
I'm going to look that up too after I hang up.
Yeah, I'll look it up too.
Yeah. And I know the Jets are going to get a quarterback in the draft. Who it is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, they have to get a veteran, you know, also. Just, I don't want the court, whoever it is, starting. Let them sit for 8 games. I can't do that together. We did it with, you know.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
If they're smart, they'll do that.
I think they have the offensive line. I'm not worried about them getting beat up. I think if you're the Jets next year, you probably don't have any expectations of winning. I think you just throw the quarterback, especially if you take him in the top in the draft. The Giants were able to get Jackson Dart later in the draft. They had already brought in some veteran quarterbacks. I thought it made sense. Jackson Dart was kind of viewed as someone who could use the time. We'll see what quarterback they take, but let's just say they're lucky enough to get Mendoza somehow, some way. I think Mendoza plays right from the jump, and we'll see about any other quarterback. I don't go into it saying I want to have him sit for a year. I'm open to that, but it's not something I'm looking for to just guarantee heading into this new season with a young quarterback. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, C-Mac. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
So you said you've been on overnights for 2.5 years. That's unreal to me, man. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yep. I started July of 23.
You know, it's funny. So there's two memories I remember vividly. You brought up one just now, the whole Ohtani thing and how you kind of went mainstream out in Japan for a little bit. And I remember there was one call in specific. I think it was that same night. Somebody called up and their whole point was, would you rather have Judge and Cole or just Ohtani? And I remember that kind of like was like your entire logic was like the fact that you'd either want Judge or Cole or Ohtani, who's just alone pretty
right.
much.
I do remember that call. He thought he had me. He was like, well, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have Judge and Cole?
It was a layup.
And I was like, well, that's the whole point. You're asking me like it's a reasonable question. It's two players for one. He does both of them.
Speaking of Japan, I remember you were on, I'm pretty sure you were on when Yamamoto signed with out in LA.
I was. The night that he signed in LA, yeah. And I was mad at both the Mets and the Yankees for not upping their bids and making sure they got him. Yep.
I think that was, and I'm usually a level-headed, glass half-empty person. I'm undeniably glass half-empty. I'm usually level-headed. That night I called in screaming, bro. And it's funny now, talk about all these years later, the same logic. Back then the logic was, well, he just didn't want to be here. And now 2 years later, you got people in the clubhouse that don't even want to be here.
Yeah. Club,
Diaz, Alonso. So with all this change, it's funny how some things stay the same.
Yeah.
But one last thing that I remember, too, and I appreciate all the time and all the memories and stuff these last couple of years, man. But it's funny how I think it might have been one of your Saturday shows, but I remember you had another caller, too. It was basically like knighting you into the overnight gig. It was like, you know, all us overnight callers were a different breed and all that, and basically like prepping you into the shift and you know, like as we kind of reminisce, pick and choose some of these calls you've had over the last couple of years, it's safe to say he was right about it. But hey, all the best to you, man. I'm glad you're getting the afternoon shift again, and hope you and Craigie hit it out of the park, man. All the best to you.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I had the rant about Ohtani, and that was like one of the first videos they put out about me because it was funny. The first week I started was the 2023 All-Star break. And it was like baptism by fire because I walked right into like 4 straight 5-hour shows with no games going on. Like that's the, like most of the time. And I had a vacation planned for later in the month. So like I was literally starting right then. So I was like, I can't take off like now since you try not to work those days. But like I right into 4 straight 5-hour shows. With really nothing to talk about, and Ohtani was kind of the topic of discussion, the trade deadline, whether he was going to get traded. I got into a heated argument with someone about him being the best player in baseball, and I'll never forget, it was the next week I was going to Disney with the family, and I literally was like driving in South Carolina or something, or maybe even, I think it was more like Virginia or something, and I got the call. I got a call from Connor Green, the great Connor Green, producer here, part-time producer. And he's like, I got a television station in Japan wanting to do an interview with you. And I'm like, I'm in the car with the kids driving on I-95. Like, I, I just don't know how I would make it work. I probably should have really just tried to make it work, but I felt like bad. I was like, I don't know. I should have tried to do it. I should have tried harder, but I was like, I don't have a laptop with me. I guess I could do it over the phone. I just was like, I don't know. Tell them, can I do it in a couple days when I get, no, they kind of want it now. Man, it's so funny. But that jumps out at me early on, the Ohtani stuff early on. Trying to think of other things that kind of, I mean, to me, a lot of it were the Knick playoff games. I had 2 years of really fun reaction to Knick playoff games, which, you know, we haven't seen that kind of level of excitement from a Knick fan base in forever. There's been other playoff series, right? Recently, there was the 50-win season with Melo a couple years ago, decade ago or so. And then, the Atlanta Hawks series, the series they lost to Miami, but it really felt like these last 2 years were legit, right? That series against Philadelphia 2 years ago was so much fun, and then last year, back in the Eastern Conference Finals and forever, and beating Boston, like that jumps out at me as a fun time, those Knick playoff games, and being on here after those games and reacting to them and taking the Knick fan calls, that was really fun. And that's, again, it's one of my favorite things about the overnight is the instant reaction to some of these games. And obviously the Yankees in the World Series, although game five, I wanted to rip my hair out. And I will say this, I am happy that I didn't really see as many gifs about Aaron Judge dropping the ball around New Year's as I thought I would for the rest of my life. I only saw like one or two. I thought it was going to be like a prominent every single year, a New Year's Eve, a bunch of gifs about Judge dropping the ball. And didn't see that much this year. People forget. Maybe it was his postseason this year that helped him out. Gary and Brick, what's up, Gary?
Hey, how are you, C-Mac?
Hey, what's going on, Gary? How are you?
I want to congratulate you on your next endeavor.
Thank you.
I also want to make a little college prediction, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I have never seen a faster team than the Miami Hurricanes, and I think they're going to win the next two games and lock it up. What do you think?
I think they have a very good chance against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is playing well. It's a great story with obviously everything that went around Lane Kiffin. I would say Chambliss right now is playing as well as any quarterback I've seen. In these playoffs, I think they have a chance against Ole Miss, but I don't know. I think Oregon's defense is really tough.
Ole Miss, I'm worried about maybe the second game, probably going to be Indiana.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think they have a chance to win that game. Yeah. I think Oregon's defense and what the performance they gave you yesterday against Texas Tech, they're a really tough team, and Indiana right now is a force. So, I mean, listen, crazier things have happened. I didn't expect them to win the other night. So Miami could do it, but these are two real impressive teams in Oregon and in Indiana. I would suspect the winner of that game on Friday is going to be the national champion. That would be my thought. I think either one of those two teams would beat Ole Miss Miami. I'm being told right now that we have a very special guest on the line. So let's go to this and see what we got here. Apparently, is this Mike?
Mayor Pack, you want to know, bud? Shake it up, brother.
Oh. What's going on, Scotty? I've been hearing you a lot lately. Good for you.
Yeah, I already got 25,000 complaints. I got 10,000 death threats already. There's a management site. I got to tell you, I saw four rats on the side of the road on 8th Avenue. It looked like the Beatles crossing Abbey Road.
Was somebody talking about Sergeant Sausage and Peppers before? Oh, that sounded awesome. And a better linguine with some super sod. Oh, yeah. Some garlic bread. And a little bit of pepperoni pie. You know, I invented meat lover's pizza. True story, Mike? We used to order it down at the old Kaufman Studios. We'd order about 4 or 5 o'clock. Cotton and Melusis. We send them out. I started the fan. That's right.
Well, thank you
Billy
for doing
Joe.
So.
Billy Joe, right, Mike? Mike the Mad Dog, I'm a McCord, Super Bowl giant, Super Bowl. Allegory, Susan Waldman, and don't forget, Greg Gumbel back again. And John Minko. and we're going to have to say Dave Simmons back again, right?
Yes.
Sure. He comes back again later on. You know,
I thought John and Susan were going to do a little rendition of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Isn't that amazing? The fire. You know, the Yankee organization was turning since Joe McCarthy was burning. Now, we didn't start. You know,
John, if you remember, Miller Huggins, that then the Giant coach, came over. Look, the Giants win the Polo Grounds. The Yankees started the Polo Grounds, too, the Highlanders. And they had a good conversation. This was before...
Well, that was before the Ruth acquisition, right?
I mean, could you imagine they made the rules for Ohtani, but there were no Ruth rules?
You know, there was two dogs barking. And, you know, when you know that it crosses over to Canorns, yeah, when they barked, who's your favorite Yankee? The dogs would say, Roof, Roof. It'll be a 1-0, though. And you know what I do now? I can't do biographies anymore, and I can't do games.
Mm-hmm.
I sit in bed, and I replay all the great Yankee moments, all the great Yankee games, and I recall them, you know? Almost like Mystery Science Theater.
I love Mystery Science Theater. Yeah, you're watching old movies, watching old Yankee games.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well, look at this one. I got one on right now. Ricky Ledet saved the Yankees bacon. Andy Hawkins, wow. You know, 15-15, Jay Bird, that was Jay Johnstone then. 15-15, that'll anchor your staff. Start the fire. Oh, Chuck Carey. The Yankees, say what you want, but Jesse Barfield just threw a bullet to Steve Sachs at second base. Whoa.
My favorite thing, though, about Sterling, real quick story. So we're down in Bar A in New Jersey, and John Sterling happened to be down there with Mike and a Mad Dog, and Mike says, okay, all right, I just got out of the bathroom, and someone did a horrible double-decker. And John Sterling says, wow, was he the runner up in the Susan Waldman look-alike contest? The pitch, Lo.
Well,
but he's a good guy. You know, can I just get in for a second? I remember Sid Rosenberg was doing something for us over at Sirius.
Yeah,
we were
Gary,
doing
yeah.
the Whack Pack. Yeah, the Whack Pack mm-hmm. Hollyweird Squares. And Sid goes, "Hey, Gare, see what I did there? I got Chabon, I got High Pitch Eric, and I've got three different other Whack Packers. We're going to call the I Miss in the Morning program tomorrow morning. Can we use them?" So I was like, yeah, I mean, these guys could go on. I Miss just wouldn't know what to do with them. So I had them call. So Sosa 6, WFIN New York, for the broadcast. And we got interesting on the phone right now. Is High Pitch Eric from the Howard Stern Show. Good morning, High Pitch.
Hello, hello. How you doing, Todd?
Quack, quack.
Mike, thank you for the call. It was I was yet to have Mike call into the show. It's the first time, the only time in the 2.5 years for him to call in and do the bit. Nico on the other side told me Francesca was on hold. I said, I'm pretty sure it's not Mike. I said, we'll go to him, though, because I haven't. If it's good enough where you're not sure, it's got to be Mike and Mayapak. So let's put him on. And I thought he was going to give me the whole, you know, Francesa, you know, saying something to me about my last overnight or, you know, going to the afternoon. But he went right into the bit. And losing a little bit. Wasn't as good as some of his best stuff. It is 4:23 in the morning. I'll give him a break. I tried to interject with a couple of things, but he was just nonstop. But I haven't heard him call in a long time. I don't know if he's called in into the afternoon or anybody in a long time. I haven't heard from him, and I've been doing the overnights 2.5 years now. He hasn't called me once. I haven't heard Mike and Mayapak in forever. So it's good to know he's still out there doing these things. 888-808-1019. The great Mike and Mayapak. some of those when he would have Mike going and stuff, and he would call in and do John and Susan singing, you know, Captain and Tennille or whatever. Those are great. Those are great. I think the Scotty Farrell was the best thing he did today. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back with your calls next on The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'll still be playing a little bit of Mac the Knife and singing the opens on Saturdays, but it is a football Friday, and there are some big football games in the NFL this week. Obviously, a couple that really matter, and then most that just, you know, do not. Unfortunately, the Giants and Jets. I don't know if you can call it games that don't matter because they need to desperately lose them. We'll see if Josh Allen plays for the Bills. I believe he missed practice yesterday. He's dealing with a foot injury. I mean, whatever the seating, I'm not sure if they're completely locked in. It wouldn't matter anyway. They're not going to risk Josh Allen, so there's a chance he doesn't play in this game. I still don't know if the Jets can win. And the Giants, they've come out and said they expect Jackson Dart to play every minute of the game. They're going to go out and try and win it every minute of the game. I don't think the Cowboys are going to play it the same way. At least that's not how Jerry Jones made it sound on his radio hit earlier in the week. We'll find out. But important for really both of these teams to lose. It sucks to do that. They need to figure it out, but they do. But we get to Saturday and a couple meaningful games, obviously, where you got the Panthers-Bucks, who are going to be playing for the NFC South title. Now, no matter what happens, there's a chance that if the Falcons win, the Panthers guarantee themselves the chance to the division, and they are favorites at home against the Saints. But we're not going to know that when the game is played in Tampa. And this is a game, too, when we talk about the coaches. I could see right now Tampa is a 3-point favorite in the game. This is a game where if they fall apart, they were 6-2 at one point in the season, the Bucs. 6-2. They are now 7-9. They have completely fallen apart. Yeah, Mayfield's been injured a little bit, and they've been dealing with injuries to their wide receiving core all year. But 6-2 and blowing the division to an 8-8 Panthers team right now. I know the Panthers have had some big wins. They beat the Rams. No quarterback in the NFL over the last 3 years has had more come from behind, no more game-winning drives in the fourth quarter than Bryce Young. But, I mean, that Panthers team it's a good little team. Don't get me wrong. They've impressed me, and they're better than we thought they would be. But that should not be the team that keeps you from a division when you're 6-2. And I could easily see Todd Bowles being one of the other coaches let go on Monday if they do not win this game. Now, if they win this game and they lose the division, if they win this game, battle back, beat the Panthers at home, hold the division title for a day, and then only to see it lose to the Panthers because of a Falcons victory, I don't know if it's just not winning the division is not winning the division for Todd Bowles, but losing this game at home with the division on the line really feels like a game they need to win for Todd Bowles. I think the Bucs are the better team. The Panthers are the team that's played better. There's a reason they're favored by 3. You know, Bucky Irving back has really helped that run game. Godwin back. He had a big game last week. I mean, they are that passing attack can really get going with Baker and Evans and Godwin, Ibuka. They should. I view them as the better team. And that's why this would be a devastating loss for them to blow this division to the Panthers, which, again, they might do anyway. The Falcons are playing really well, one handful of games in a row, really since that Jet loss. But I could see that, and that would be an interesting, intriguing job, to be totally honest with you. I talk about how the Giants are the best job opening. There's a couple that could really supplant the Giants as the top premium place for a head coach to land. I think the Buccaneers might be one because of some of the talent I mentioned there. I do think Baker Mayfield has really established himself as a winning quarterback. They play in a lousy division. They have some talent around them. I think that could be an interesting place. Obviously, Buffalo. If Buffalo gets knocked out in the first round or has a really disappointing playoff here, and it's not just because Josh Allen is banged up, like, I could see them making a move there. It's been a long time. There's been a lot of issues surrounding this coach, whether comments made off the field about 9/11 and just a team that's underachieved. And now the team they can't get past, that hurdle they cannot clear in the Chiefs, is not there. And we'll see if Lamar Jackson is even in there. We'll get to that game next here. Even if Lamar, you know, it's been the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens. Those have been the three teams, the class of the AFC. There's a chance, we know the Chiefs won't be there. There's a chance the Ravens won't be there. It might be the Bills standing there alone looking at the likes of, you know, the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Patriots and the Broncos as the team standing in front of them. And whether or not those teams have made vast improvements and are good, and they obviously are, the Broncos have won a ton of games, and Peyton's doing a great job there. And what's going on with Vrabel and May and what's going on, and the Patriots is, you know, incredible this year. And May might very well be the MVP, but this is a year the Bills, you just figure, like, they have to get through this thing. And if they don't, McDermott could be in trouble. Those are the two jobs that could possibly open up that I would, you know, if a Tomlin or a Harbaugh become available, as appealing as the Giant job is, and I do think it's appealing, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills job opens up. I don't know if they would even want to go that route necessarily in Buffalo, but, I mean, that's a really intriguing job. But then you get to, after the Panthers at 8 o'clock, you got Seahawks 49ers, and I'm really interested in this game because is there a chance that the 49ers are the best team in football right now? And I know the defense gave up a ton of points against the Bears. I know. And, you know, Fred Warner might not be back until later in the playoffs, and that defense hasn't been as good, and they even lost their best offense. You know, we'll see if their best offensive lineman is going to be hurt in this game. But that offense is unstoppable. Like, right now, what Shanahan is cooking up with Purdy and McCaffrey, like, they did it without Kittle, and they expect Kittle to play in this game against the Seahawks. This is a game where if the 49ers win this game against the Seahawks and they beat this defense that's been so good, they're 7-1 on the road, and the defense has been so damn good. Like, if Sam Darnold in this game, now again, it doesn't send them home, so it's not like a winner-take-all type game or a big game for Sam, but you know what? Neither was the game against the Lions last year at the end of the season. And he was awful in it. Big game Sam is still an issue for this team. And with the one seed on the line, possibly, if the 49ers win this game, beat this sick Seahawks defense, have an offense that continues to look unstoppable, even against, you know, one of, if not the best team, certainly in the NFC defensively, and they're playing all of their games at home all the way through up until the Super Bowl, I think the 49ers with that coach and this offense become a real threat in the NFC. A team that was kind of left for dead for a while. I mean, they're 12-4. They could win and be the one seed. I'm not saying they were a bad football team, but you know, they're playing with backup quarterbacks and Purdy's hurt and they've lost a bunch of guys that, you know, obviously their wide receiving core was either just Ayuk was never there. They had injuries up and down. And they were kind of floundering for a while to the point where we were all frustrated as Giant fans that they didn't take advantage of it and beat a very beatable 49er team. Instead, they rolled over. But I'm interested because I don't know if the loss, unless Sam Darnold looks terrible in the game, especially against the Niners defense that couldn't stop the Bears at all. Barring that, I don't know if it's going to change how I feel about the Seahawks necessarily. If the Niners win this game, I may view them as the best team in the NFC. Good luck going in that building and stopping that offense. And then obviously we get to the big game of the week, the real true say or die, do or die game, Ravens and Steelers. Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite on the road in Pittsburgh. And, I mean, for me, Lamar Jackson says he's coming back, has never quit on the team. The Steelers lost a devastating – that's a tough – when you know that, all you needed to do is beat the Browns, and you put up that kind of offensive performance, and now you know Metcalf isn't there again this week, and clearly it impacted the team offensively so much last week. Now you take it on a Ravens team that, without Lamar Jackson and with Henry just having the big game that he had, just absolutely dominated a Green Bay Packers team that's going to the playoffs in the NFC, and hopefully for the Ravens and their fan base, a coach who recognizes that Derrick Henry's pretty damn good despite some early season fumble issues, and you have to feed him the football. Like, that's the one thing that scares you, is that if Lamar Jackson comes back, they do what they typically do sometimes in these big games, especially in the playoffs, and get away from who they are. And it suddenly becomes Lamar Jackson making plays instead of a Ravens offense that got them to 13, 14 wins along the way. And right now it's painfully obvious for the Ravens that running the football through Henry is their best offense at the moment, and then allow Jackson to play off of that, especially, you know, coming off this injury. If they do that, like, I just think they're the better team. I think they're the far better team. I think this is a really tough game for the Steelers. I really do. I think this is a tough game for the Steelers. And what we saw for most part, outside of the last drive, the last two drives from Pittsburgh in that game against Cleveland, unfortunately banged up at the end of the year. Rodgers just hasn't looked as good as he did in that stretch the few weeks prior. That defense isn't as – it's probably the worst Steelers defense we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years, at least. Now, this is a game 3.5. The hook would scare me. This is the best rivalry in football. They know each other. The underdog covers at a high rate in these games, if you look into it for a gambling standpoint. This is a really fascinating game. Two teams that know each other extremely well. Two coaches that have been there 19 and 18 years, respectively. They've played a million games against each other. There's going to be no surprises in this game. The question is, do the Ravens play their game and allow Henry to run the football, and do they have success doing it early and stick with it the whole game? And can Aaron Rodgers make plays down the field without Metcalf? Because they don't go down the field. Like, even with Metcalf, they really don't go down the field. And I think that's the best way to beat this Ravens defense. It's gotten better. It's gotten healthier since its really disaster start of the season, but still, going down the field against this defensive backfield is the best way to beat the Ravens offensively, and I don't know if the Steelers are capable of doing it. Now, they beat them the last time out, and I believe in Tomlin, and I think they'll find a way to keep it close. But even on the road, this is a tough game not to like the Ravens, even at 3.5, and I'm going to take the 49ers too as well on Saturday night. They're plus 1.5 right now. I'm on the 49ers in that game as well. And I'll take the Bucs -3 on Saturday. But those are the games of the week. There's other games for, you know, seeding purposes and stuff. I don't know if I even care about the Giants and Jets at this point. Just lose the damn game. Chargers and Broncos, obviously, they've announced the quarterback's not playing in the game. So, like, doesn't even matter at this point any longer. I mean, Herbert's not playing, so we'll see. But a lot of coaches could be on the way out. We'll see how they handle it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get to the calls here as we wrap and end the show. J-Man in Goshen. What's up, J-Man?
Hey, how are you? Congratulations on new dig, and 2.5 years went quick. I got two quick questions. One is, who's going to be worse this year, the Mets or the Angels?
The Mets or the Angels? I would still say the Angels.
Yeah, who's going to have more losses?
The Angels. The Mets will be better than the Angels.
Okay, and the second question is, Can the Jets get the second pick if they lose?
I believe they can. Yes, I believe they still can. They would if they lose and the Giants win. I believe they would get the second pick. I don't know. Right now, they are the third. So I don't know about strength of schedule with the other teams with three wins. Tennessee is 20. Is the Jets have a strength of schedule of 550. Tennessee is 574. And Arizona is 577. I don't know if anything can change in the final week that dramatic to change the strength of schedule. If the Giants win and the Jets lose, I would think they get the second pick. Peter in Rockville Center. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how are you? Chris, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, Peter. How are you?
Listen, I just wanted to say it's sad that this is the first time I'm calling you, and I've been listening to this time slot for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to tell you, listen, diehard Yankee fan. I'm always optimistic. I'm never killing the GM and the team, mm-hmm. and I think they're going to be okay. Listen, I'm back in the day. I remember I saw Chris Chambliss hit the home run. I was like 16, 17 at the time. But just really appreciate you, appreciate your knowledge, and I'm going to be listening in the afternoon on the Odyssey app.
Well, I appreciate that, Peter. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening. And don't feel bad. Most of the audience doesn't call, so most of the people who listen don't take the time to call. But thank you for taking it today. I appreciate you. Spencer in East Windsor. What's up, Spencer?
Hi again, Chris. First of all, I'm going to miss you on these late nights.
Thank you.
To my fellow McCartney fan, mm-hmm. my wife and I, when we first got married, our wedding song was Calico Skies.
It's sure, a Flaming Pie album. Absolutely, I know it, yes.
Okay, all right, yeah, you're a real fan. Okay, a great, great song.
Love Flaming Pie might be one of his best solo albums post Wings. You could make the case it's one of his best. It's one of my favorites, absolutely.
It's an underrated album.
Yes, very
Chris,
good.
I don't want to play the violins too much, but I do want to share with you. My situation is a couple of years ago, after an upper respiratory infection, I lost my eyesight. I was completely sightless for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit of my eyesight back, but I'm retired now, and I can't drive. It's a pretty bad situation. And one of the things that happened is I tend to wake up, in the middle of the night. 2 o'clock in the morning looks like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm having those sleepless nights, I reach for my Odyssey app and I put on FAN and you're on, and it even prompts me to get up and become one of those late night callers. So that's why I'm going to particularly miss you, and that's on behalf of the segment of fans who are maybe in a situation like me.
Well, I thank you for that, Spencer, and I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen, and if that helped you in any way, that's awesome, man. So thank you very much. Sorry to hear about that. Losing your sight from an upper respiratory infection, I feel like I get that once a year. That's scary. But yeah, no, I'm gonna miss doing this too. It's a unique thing. Again, the callers are unique. We all share in this crazy lifestyle, for the most part. For the most part, a lot of the callers, a lot of listeners, we all, we got a caller from a bartender. I get that a lot. Bartenders leaving the bar late. Warehouse workers, drivers. Mitch drives limos early in the morning to the airport or whatever. Like a lot of that, and it's just a unique lifestyle. Sleeping during the day and working in the middle of the morning. So. That's why it's very much a family. A lot of the same callers, and I'm going to miss that. And I'm going to miss doing this show. But obviously, I'm very excited about the opportunity. Again, we don't have to make it too dramatic. I'm not going anywhere. I'll just be doing the afternoons. You'll still be able to hear me. You just mentioned the Odyssey app. If you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you want to listen to me, just go to the Craig Carton with Chris McMonagle show, and you'll hear me. At least that's what I'm told. Alan in Long Island. What's up, Alan?
2 hours of pushing broom. I ain't got no cigarettes. C-Mac, day
yes.
One. You gotta come in with the white Elvis jumpsuit with the dark shades. Because impression, I'm telling you, you got to do it, man.
Yeah.
Impression. You got to remember, the whole country's going to be watching. It's going to be on TV, too. Impressions
yes.
are big.
Mm-hmm.
And who the heck is the coach of Buffalo? Claude Rains, the invisible man? They never mentioned the guy's name. They wasted Josh Allen up there.
Yeah.
The guy carries a team. He carries a team on his shoulders into the playoffs every year. And some teams, let's face it, are so bad you can't even tell if they are tanking. But I really hope the Giants bench their whole team Sunday so they can get the first pick. Because, listen, Kansas City ain't that good. Maybe the Raiders will get like the law. Is there a statistician out there or an actuary? The law of averages have to catch up, and the Raiders have to win a game.
I mean, you know, you never know. But unfortunately for the Giants, it takes even more than that. Just a Raiders win wouldn't secure it. They need two of four other outcomes. So I did this the other day. These four games have two of these four things have to happen. So Seattle has to beat San Francisco. Cleveland beat Cincinnati. Atlanta beat New Orleans. Chicago beat Detroit. Any two of those four because of this dopey strength of schedule. So they need two of the four to happen. Three of the four, or four of the four obviously work as well, but at least two. Seattle beat San Francisco, Cleveland beat Cincinnati, Atlanta beat New Orleans, Chicago beat Detroit. Two of those things happen along with a Raiders win and a Giants loss, and the Giants have the number one pick. But, so that's pretty convoluted, but it's possible. Phil and Howell, what's up, Phil?
Hey, C-Mac, happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you,
sir. What's up? Hey, listen, I like to talk about the tanking issue in football, okay? You know, my opinion is, I don't know how you feel about it, I just think that it really has something to do with the integrity of the game. I mean, these guys go out and they play, you know, one day a week, and they throw their bodies around and this and that. And one other thing I like to mention is, like, as far as the tanking issue goes, why don't they, like, I don't know how it works on every given Sunday. Like, does the NFL headquarters, like, I'm sure they have, like, people watching the games, like, especially with rumors about teams that might be tanking out or whatnot. What about, like, if they really feel that a team is tanking, they do an investigation, and let's say, you know, a couple players actually talk, and they say, yeah, well, you know, they told us that, you know, basically if we lose that, we can, you know, we're helping the organization out, blah, blah, blah. See, in my opinion, if they really truly believe that a team is tanking, they should actually strip them of their first round draft.
Well, but again, what do you mean by tanking? Because they're not going to tell the players to do things wrong on purpose. They're not going to tell a player to miss the tackle. They're not going to tell a player to drop a pass. But Dak Prescott might come out of this game for no other reason than to not play him. So what is that? Do you consider that tanking? Because that's not going to be hidden. That's going to be plain in our face. Dak Prescott plays the first half. He doesn't play the second half.
You know what I think tanking is? I don't know if you remember this. A couple of years ago, the Giants were playing the Eagles.
Yeah.
I think it was the last game of the year.
Yes, and that pretty much got Peterson fired for that. But I'm just saying, like, there's not going to be any investigation, and players are going to say, oh, you know, I dropped the ball on purpose because they told me. Let's get to Al in Brooklyn before we say goodbye. Al, what's going on?
Oh, I'm glad I got you. I really called to thank you for all your nights together. And I really feel like I know you, and you really are a good man. I can tell that. Well, I would love to spend a weekend in your house. Your house must be a complete great house. I come from nine kids, and I think all you need is two to have chaos.
Well, I mean, that's all I need. I'm sorry to cut you off, Al, but we're up against it. We're going to hit the music. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you to all you guys for calling. Thank you for the last 2.5 years. It was incredible. It was a dream to be the overnight host here, full-time overnight host for the last 2.5 years. I could not have asked for more. I know I'm getting it, so... I'm excited about what's going to start on Monday. I can't tell you I'm not, but this was a extremely important part of my life, and the last 2.5 years have been a blast. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for all the kind wishes today. And again, I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be here. You can listen on the app, but this will be it. This is the last overnight. So thank you guys. I appreciate it. It was a ton of fun. I love talking to you guys. And again, it's like a family. It's one of those things where we all live the same lifestyle, and a lot of you would call in a lot. I spoke to a lot of you. I'm surprised Brett in Long Island didn't call up one more time to disrespect me. I'm shocked. You're going to have to call me on Saturdays. You can also catch me there, too. So I'll be doing a similar show to the overnights, just me, on every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, so you can still get me there. And, of course, you can hear me every afternoon starting Monday at 2 o'clock on the Craig Carton Show with Chris McMonagle. So looking forward to that. But thank you, guys. I truly appreciate it. It's been a blast. and we'll still see you. Nico, thank you very much, man. I appreciate all the help. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Football Friday. You got the warm-up show coming up. Boomer and Gio are back today, so the full morning gang is with us. Everybody, enjoy that. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.